and they call for the attendance, and we have Mary Waro is not going to be with us. She is ill. So I'll be serving as the deputy chair, serving by the chair. Jennifer Schwartz-Burke is here. James Delaney is here, and so is Craig Lopez. So we have a quorum. I ask for a motion to approve the minutes of the May 9th meeting. Okay. Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Alright, we have a, before we go into those, we have the college here, so maybe we'll ask, you want to give us city updates, guys, and now when are you leaving? Oh, alright.
We have a new person starting middle to the end of July. And I'll stay around for a little transition, but it's good news to hear that the position was filled and someone's starting shortly.
Well, I want to thank you for the job you've done. Excellent job, particularly under the circumstances you came in, and it seemed like you have been there forever.
I feel the same way.
I mean, you blended in so well. I was really impressed with your ability to do that.
I owe a lot to Ulster, and I was walking back to the office today, and I noticed that tree still had the name I put on it, a larch tree from Japanese larch. So it's good to see some of the things I did 20, 30 years ago are still out there working.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I thank you.
Well.
So, you guys.
Well, what we'd like to do is John's going to give you somewhat of an abbreviated session of what we'll be seeing in a full session of a few minutes. But, you know, personally, I just want to thank Jeff. He not only came in and at the same time I did, so it was kind of awkward, but he really provided a balance for me. And really, I learned so much from him, especially from his historic background and the fact that he could come in and look at things and make some adjustments. So I think we did a fairly good job moving forward. So I think we did a great job.
Plus, I know he spent some time in the SUNY system in Albany, so kind of helpful in terms of the mechanic parts with our SUNY brethren, if you will. So we appreciate it very much. You're welcome.
So I'll let John take it.
That's it?
You're not going to give him a step.
That's all the adulation you're going to get today.
No, I thought you were
going to talk about our wonderful process, et cetera. But I'll do that. you have, tonight, you have the budget. We're going to give a public hearing and go through it. It's a little longer presentation, but I think you should realize we did it using a new process for the college. It involves the president and cabinet meeting with all the departments and reviewing their requests. And then any recommendations for staffing came up from the departments. They were not top down. The data was loaded in Banner, our administrative system, so the budget wasn't built on someone's laptop. And the budget was prepared using the following assumptions that, believe it or not, the cabinet came to a consensus on. And the first assumption, if you go to the next page for revenues, is that tuition, based on a 5% decline in enrollment from this year's actual, the tuition will come down about $400,000, even though we're asking for tuition increase. The increase rate makes it go up, but the enrollment makes it come down. So the tuition is one of the biggest revenue hits in the budget. In addition to state aid, we got $100 per FTE. Now, the state kind of softens the downside by using the three-year average. So the state aid loss is only $4,000. Sponsor, we have the budget, that's the same as last year, maintaining effort. Charges, to other counties, about $10,000 off because enrollment is off. And other revenue is up, mainly because we're collecting rent from our tenants. Next. You can see the percentages that tuition is 34, the state is 24, the sponsor is 27, and chargebacks 3, other 12. Next is pie chart, so you can see it a little more visual. If you count the total local share, which is sponsor plus chargebacks, that's 30%. And the state aid at 24 and tuition at 34. So the person, the group that's out of the one-third, is the state in their contribution.
What is the other revenue? Is that
other revenue? Well, it's a conglomeration. Vending machines, rental income, credit-free tuition. There's about 40 categories in it. But the biggest change is that we're going to be collecting rent at the Kingston Center for PTAC at the high school. So there's a revenue there that's new. Next. Our tuition compared to the other schools. And by the way, three of these schools are still in negotiations like us. Duchess, Columbia Green, Westchester still doesn't have the number out for us. But if you look at our full-time tuition and where we're going to be, 43, we're right near the middle. And once Westchester comes up, we'll probably be like second or third from the bottom. And look at their last year tuition. Some of them, like Sullivan and Orange, were pretty high even last year before they raised it. And I think in your presentation, you said 28 of the 30 colleges are raising tuition. Also, by the way, the last time we raised tuition was 13-14. So we went 3 years without tuition.
Why is Westchester?
Because they haven't decided they don't want to talk to us. Some of these are off the record. Because we know the people then, they'll tell us, I'm going to ask for this. But they're still in the process we're in, and we want to get ahead of them with the legislature or the board, so we're asking that this aid not be distributed. Next, this is the part-time showing us that 165 is very competitive, especially even the Westchester last year was 179. So keeping up the Duchess on the low side is difficult. Next. The aid calculation, you can see the three-year average. So this year's actual, we get funded at 50%, and the year before at 30, and the year before 20. That serves as a cushion, so you don't lose your state aid exactly when you lose your enrollment. And if you happen to come up, you get paid at previous year's actual. So if you got a higher number this year, you could raise it over the 20-30 month. Next. Summary, in state aid, there's a lot of pieces, so you can see all the parts that make it up. Next. Here's the important part, the history of state aid. In 2007, it was $26.75. In 2017, it's going to be $26.97. So it took us 10 years to recover the cuts that we were given from the state. And we're still nowhere near third. Remember, only 24%. Next. This is the chargebacks, the sponsor, and the other revenue, just showing you the differences. As I said, the biggest one is the other revenue. The chargeback is because of the enrollment. Next. Here's the state, the county contribution, which is graphed. See, it was flat from 8 all the way up to last year. Next. Expense side. Again, this side was built with assumptions. We actually eliminated 7 positions, but we hired 2 new ones. So in the net, it's 5 positions. That reduced the salary, even though we had negotiated salary increases, but $81,000. Benefits went down because of that. Fewer people, but also a pretty good rate decrease from employees' retirement system. Sometimes those systems reflect the market performance when the market's up, they lower the rates. Contractual supplies, we saw some good savings this year in things like heating oil and stuff, so we didn't put them back up to last year's budget level. We put them to where we think they would be. Equipment has a drastic reduction, and that's thanks to two reasons. One, we got this year $120,000 from the College Foundation to do a network, and we have a commitment almost by the way for next year for another chunk of money. And the county put through two capital projects, one for furniture and one for technology. The total of those projects are $450,000. If we get them, I don't need to spend as much money on equipment. Most of that equipment is refreshing computers and technology. So the overall expense of that. Next, just the distribution, and you can see between salary and benefits, we have 76% of our budget is fixed. Next. This is the most important page of the copy of the book. It's a snapshot of our revenue and expenses by object. And you can see clearly that it's tuition and equipment, the biggest numbers that were affected, and the net result is a 1.6 reduction in the budget. So that page has a whole analysis just about that.
A couple of just updates, and as we move into the next room, I'm going to go into not only more detail on what John talked about, but the fact that we have a number of new initiatives that we're going to do. We have a new human services program. One thing that we have enrollment right now for summer was budgeted for 108, and we're now at 127. So there are things, but that just doesn't happen automatically. You know, we work diligently to take some failures. When students wanted to register, if they hadn't been assigned to a particular program, there was a prerequisite, and they bounced them out. So we streamlined that and let a student register for class if he wanted to, tremendous amount of work. And we've reduced, you'll see that in dinner time too.
I was just reading the Dutchess, or they're having trouble with their, say, Dutchess County because of the declining enrollment stuff.
Oh, we're all going to face that.
Yeah, so you're going to have to face
it. And that's the two areas we're going to look at. We're going to look at finding new markets. And what I've said since day one is we have to get better at keeping the students we have. If we lose 35-40% of our students from fall to fall, it's harder to get a new student to keep a regular student. So we're going to have a lot of plans in that particular area to keep these students.
Anybody have any questions? Or want to save them for the public hearing, or want to ask any questions now, please feel free. No? All right.
Only that this is a great presentation.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. And you guys can run away and get yourself ready, I guess. All right, we have four resolutions for us. The first resolution, Resolution 285.
All right.
285, it's a proposed local law number 6, a local law, thank you. A local law amending local law number 3 in 2012, providing an exemption from real property tax for real property owned by veterans who rendered military service to the United States during the Cold War.
I'll move it.
Already moved.
Seconded.
Senator Lopez, seconded by Duane. Any questions or statements for the betterment of mankind here or anything else? No? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All righty. The next resolution is Resolution 286. Talking of proposed local law number 7, That is to increase the maximum allowable real property tax exemption pursuant to Section 458A of the Real Property Tax Law entitled Veterans Alternative Exemption.
Yeah, I'll move.
Moved by Legislator Lopez, seconded by Durkee. Any questions on it or?
Nope.
All right. Call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay.
So we were providing instructions to others, but not during the Cold War? Is that why they added that?
Yeah, the Cold War has never been in there. So I think people felt that because they were always on call during the Cold War and often stationed in Germany and Japan and various places throughout the world.
My dad.
What's that?
My dad was. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so that's, I guess that's the mindset of it. Already, Resolution 321. Supporting the passage of A09, don't need to redo that, requiring periodical testing of school potable water systems sourced to a monitor for lead contamination in certain school buildings. Does anybody know anything about this one?
All I know is that Legislator Allen had approached me about forming some kind of a committee that had to do with water supply. And we felt, I felt, along with Vicki, Sabella, that it was that we, I'd rather approach the Waterways Committee and talk about having conjoined committee work having to do with water in general, because it's creating yet another committee. But he was very concerned with this particular issue of the safety of the water supply. I don't think it's a bad idea. I don't know whether there's a cost associated to the schools for implementing. I mean, they should. I think that they're supposed to be doing this sort of thing, which is why it comes as a surprise to me, but I haven't had time to research it. I would like him to explain to us what the current safeguards are that are in place in schools. Because, for example, in Kingston, we tested all the schools.
Right, they tested one on a regular basis, right?
Well, they found certain water fountains at Chambers and other schools.
Well, any time when a fountain or something like that is not used for a long period of time, it's going to get, you have to let it run.
That's right. Well, I think that they did the tests by running the water, but you can do a certain amount of flushing out.
I don't know what happened with the counties. I mean, the county did all this, and everything was like, if you remember correctly, they had this big to-do, and it was like, the world was coming to an end when, in reality, they did something wrong with the testing.
Oh, did they?
Yes, because otherwise they would not have had, because they had, 17 out of 19 or something like that was bad. And the city went out and did the testing, and they can't find none.
Your mic was fine, right?
I feel as though we do need to address the question of water safety. I suppose starting with the schools is not a problem, except that I'd like to understand what safeguards are in place associated with that. And so I don't really know what we do with a proposal like this one. I don't have the background. I'm going to provide the background.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with that, only because, when you offer a resolution, I think it's often important to have the sponsor here in order to answer some questions.
Right.
This is one of those instances where, there's a lot of ambiguity as to what this is actually going to do and who can help. It's obviously in support of this pending legislation in both the Assembly and Senate. So,
There's no pending legislation regarding
the
proposal. Because
it's in support. Yeah. It's in support of passage.
I see. So in a sense, it's almost like a combination of memorializing and preemptive.
Well, it definitely is memorializing.
It is memorializing.
It's only memorializing.
Yeah, it has
Why not? Yeah. I mean, I'll move it. I didn't read the word support.
Yeah, because the resolves are, it is a memorializing resolution.
So,
saying that we'd like that the state is considering this and we want them to pass it.
Right. If this is pending, I mean, I don't have any problem with that. Safety first for children, I really don't see what could be against that.
Right.
But it would be nice to hear from them.
Mm. I don't have a problem with it, only because it's memorializing. It's in support of something that I think is important. So, it's memorializing resolution. So, I'm okay.
All right, so we spend more time talking about the memorializing. Are we moving this then?
I'll move it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll second it.
All right, and second it. Any other? All right, so all those in favor?
Yep.
All right. Any opposed? None?
So the same is true for the Common Core. I actually had my son ask me the other day, Mommy, what's wrong with the Common Core? And I said, I used to know the answer to that. Can you explain to us what is so problematic about it since you're an educator?
Well, I think the way it's used and the... A lot of the things with the Common Core is really driven by book companies, basically. It's driven by Prentice Hall. That's who's driving it. They're the ones that are want all this type of testing. And, in the end, my biggest problem with Common Core and doing a lot of these types of things is you're trying to fit everybody in the same, round hole. And everybody doesn't fit in the same round hole. And, we've gone away from things that were actually very good. Like, when I graduated from high school, you could get a Regents diploma, or you got what was referred to as a school or local diploma. The local diploma was fine, but the Regents diploma really meant something. If you got a Regents diploma from New York State, that meant something anywhere in the country, actually. Today, it doesn't mean diddly squat because there's no say everybody has to get a Regents diploma. So everybody has to take the same types of testing, which is not, it's putting everybody in that same round hole. And to me that, there's people that, we all mature at different ages, as you know. I mean, I think I grew up when I was 35.
Yeah,
I'm here, 36. Whereas I've had friends that were very mature in high school and knew exactly what they wanted, where they were going and all that, but not all of us are like that.
Right.
And I got a Regents diploma, but the point was, I was good at certain things and I was able to stay on.
Yeah, it's a one-size-fits-all type standard. See, now, I look at it from a different approach. I look at it through a constitutional type standpoint is that, I like the Tenth Amendment. The Tenth Amendment is not as popular as the First or Second Amendment, but it's equally as important because it limits the power of the federal government. Mm-hmm. And more specifically, the Tenth Amendment says that any right that does not give direct power to the federal government automatically gives it to the states. So this is an instance where there's nothing in the Constitution that is education-related that gives the federal government power over our education. I think it should be left at the local level, up to the states and our local schools and parents and people to weigh in, because they know best on how what's best for our children as far as testing and curriculum is concerned. So that's how I look at it. I agree with you too, Mr. Chairman, as far as who's driving this, which is the Bill Gates Foundation and people who are essentially selling education. And all this came about as part of the 2008, 2009 stimulus package, where it was what was the name of that program? The Race to the Top.
It was a continuous sub that No Child Left Behind.
Right, exactly. That was passed during the Bush administration. And the Race to the Top, it essentially gives money to states who have schools that test well.
Right.
So it's a federal contest. It's a $2-something billion federal contest. And in order to be part of Race to the Top, you had to adopt Common Core standards as well. So they had a very short time
the state legislatures to implement this, and giving the current economy and, you know, like what was going on back in 2008, people were quick to jump on this in order to try to get more funding for their schools. Now, my issue with this is that, and you probably recall, back in November 2014, we had passed similar legislation. Well, it was a memorializing resolution in support of reinstating two pending bills in both the state and the assembly that was calling for the immediate withdrawal and repeal of Common Core. And that passed unanimously through the legislature, and I think we also took a unanimous stance against it. So to me, this seems a little bit redundant, and this bill doesn't have a companion bill in the Senate, obviously. It's only in support of the assembly bill. And essentially, it says the same thing. So, I don't know if, again, it's a memorialized resolution. So I don't know if passing yet another memorializing resolution in favor of an assembly bill that has yet to have a companion bill, which is essentially the same as we had called for back in 2014 for the reinstatement, if it's really going to make a difference. So, it's whatever the committee wants, but I don't know if I'm going to be yes on it only because I think we've done this before. But then again, it doesn't really hurt to be a yes on it either. So I'm kind of
I know what you're saying.
Interesting.
Thank you for that perspective, especially the idea of the race to the top, which I hadn't really thought about in terms of the implementation and how badly they implemented it in the New York State. So that really has a very negative light on me. For me, it's not about, I have a different take, obviously, on the role of the federal government. I do think the standards, how it's implemented, matters. And to me, they implemented in a way of forcing, first of all, the evaluation of teachers, which I've always felt, especially with their job left behind, is a terrible way to go. Because there are teachers, they work differently, they have different circumstances in their classrooms. And I've seen a lot of teachers hurt.
Right. I mean, I know an example would be that, with the evaluation of using the testing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to, I'm retired, so it doesn't affect me, but, I mean, they would ask me to take the kids that had the most trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I was able to, in other words, I was just able to work with them. And they responded to me, but they didn't really test well. I mean, I would get them through to stuff.
But
work on you get them through, but then would I want to do that? Yeah. Would I say, oh yeah, give me your troubled kids, I'll take them. I enjoy working with them because I did enjoy working with them. But if my job's on the line, if I take them, I say, wait a minute, do I want to take somebody that is?
So I experienced.
So I actually took a lot of different students from other teachers.
I experienced this personally for 2 years in a row, and it really hurt my son. He, normal, hyperactive, 6-7-year-old, and I think it creates incentives for the teachers and the committees to push those children into non-mainstream classrooms, like 12-1-2 classes, which we did 2 years in a row because they didn't want negative scores.
Sure.
Classrooms that were being tested. My son suffered from being a very smart but hyperactive kid in a classroom full of children who he was not coming from. He was only learning negative behaviors.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with children who were, struggling and need an IEP, but they were putting him in that classroom because they wanted their scores to be higher. So the testing is terrible.
Is
it really hurts children. It's not just the teachers. It hurts the children. When he went back into a mainstream classroom last year and this year, completely different. He outperformed everyone. He reads at a 12th grade level. So it's really criminal that this is the way children who are different are being sidelined. So that's the other piece why I would agree with supporting this. But the other thing I would like to say about it is in Kingston, at least, I don't know about Ulster County, we have a staggering number of people who opted out of the testing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know our constituents agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I've got mixed feelings about that as well. You know, my wife's a special ed teacher, so I see this firsthand. I hear about it all the time. So opting out. She works in Muslim school district. So, it's an inner city type school district, and the ones that are opting out are generally middle class families who are engaged with their with their children's education. So, the ones that are not opting out have the lower test scores, and that's reflecting on the teachers.
And the district is able to lose money.
And the district, yep.
That's what gets here, the high testing money.
They say a certain number opt out that avoids the results for the school. And so we, from what I understand, and I think that this is, in a sense, it's a movement. You have to understand that people are finding the only way they can say, we don't support the Common Core. So I think it's definitely worth talking about and maybe asking Legislator Allen some more about it. I would likely vote yes, but I would like to hear more from him.
The problem is with this is, Craig is saying, it's redundant. It's been done. And I don't know if, we've taken a stand that, in other words, we don't support the Common Core. We ask them to do away with it. And, I don't know. I'm kind of, I don't know if I want to go yes or no.
No harm, no foul. Well, if it's 2-2, it fails, right? So, no harm, no foul. You look at the redundancy of something, too. I had to look any further than the feds, where how many times the Affordable Care Act been voted to repeal? Nothing ever had a good result. So, it's fine.
The other problem is it's a one-house bill.
It's one-house bill, too, which how much what's the credibility of a one-house bill?
I think it's a way of raising up the voices from the local level to state to show them that we support this so that maybe it moves to the Senate. Next year's election year. I don't know what that's going to mean. All I can say is I do believe in the power of a memorializing resolution. If what it does is gain traction among counties and everyone is starting to push for the same thing.
Sure. Okay. That's fine.
Argument, since we're doing the debate team thing.
Yeah.
I guess no one will follow.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll be yes, you convince me.
I would like to ask him to speak with us.
I think that's fair. And I think that's a good idea that he shows up, to explain himself a little bit, considering he has to.
Well, the other aspect, rather than saying yes on it, we could always postpone it.
Postpone it until he can come and talk to us. Right?
Yeah, the other one has. It's sponsored in two houses, so it makes sense.
Okay, well, that also sends a good message to legislators for supporting legislation without explaining it to the committee.
I either am there or I have somebody at least go before me.
Yeah.
If I can't make it or something, somebody shows up before.
Do you think he communicated with Mary and it's because she's not here? We don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
He didn't call me on either one of them.
Right, okay.
It's so important.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't have a kid in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So hearing this from you two was...
Yeah.
Sure.
There are powerful reasons to retool what we're doing with Common Core. The question is how. And you don't have to necessarily throw the baby away with the bathwater. I reviewed all the materials for my son for the whole year. They're not bad. There are a lot of conceptual things that are conceptually right. It's the implementation that's the problem.
So, I'm comfortable with that.
So you want to vote on it or postpone it or what do you want to do?
Postpone it.
We can always postpone it for next month.
Yeah. With the explanation that we'd really like to hear more about.
That's the only reason.
Right. With the that you can come in.
What his reasoning is. Why he thinks it's going to be valuable.
Sure.
And it is, well, the other point is, and we were looking at the idea of, you know, is there going to be a Senate bill? I mean, if it's a Senate bill, it's much more,
more
palatable because you know that it's going somewhere. Otherwise, we're sending a message to nobody.
Sure. Craig was saying, Chris, is this redundant?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so then...
a motion and a second
to postpone it. All those in favor?
Aye.
We'll give them an opportunity.
Okay.
All righty, any old business?
I did have one question about their presentation that only came up after they left the room. So what are you paying in charge back to other counties? What's the percentage of a buy?
Remember now, I used to have that on the tip of my tongue. I just
wonder what we're doing about chargebacks.
It's about $1.2 million, maybe.
So it's a $14 million general.
I mean, if you believe that, or 800,000, I can't remember what that was.
What, for chargebacks?
Chargebacks.
Yeah, I thought it was under $1 million.
Yeah, maybe it's 800 and something. So what are they doing about it? Well, that's a good question. We did, what we did last, or was it maybe last year, year before, was it? Because what I sponsored one dealing with them to actually, because we got the hardest time from Via Vranek and the county executive over, if you remember correctly, because we wanted them, anybody when they have to come in, if you're going to go to college in another county, community college, you have to do a little form, you know, so the chargeback happens. So what we asked for is to do a survey on the form. Yes, so in other words, just so they, in other words, when the kids are already there, they have to fill out the form for proof of residence. So ask them why they're going somewhere else. And we gave them a checklist.
And did they not allow that?
Well, they said that we couldn't do it. It was unconstitutional at one point. It was breaking. Well, it was really, we did it anyway. We ended up getting a vote and did it anyway.
Okay. Good.
There was nothing wrong with it. It was just the IBA. I don't know why they wanted
to. What are the findings
to be evaluated? Yeah, we've been getting them. I didn't get them this year. I was getting them last year. Maybe they sent them to Mary. I'm not sure. But and they did, of course, college gets something. They're, you know, when they're filled out. And most of it is just the location. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are cases where people, in other words, there is also we actually have on there is they didn't want to come there because it too many people from their high school were there. In other words, you know, because there's actually
new people, right? Sure.
No, a lot of people. In other words, I know kids that didn't want to come to Ulster because they said, it's like going to 13th grade.
Right.
Sure.
You know, so that you know, so we wanted to see. So there were people that actually checked that off. You know, so what they're, you know, so they are zeroing in on the idea that, you know, trying to, you know, destigmatize that mindset. And then some of it is, but most of it's location. I mean, the reality is that we decided, our forefathers decided to put the college campus in the middle of the county, not in the middle of the population center.
There was location for me. I went to Orange County Community College.
Right.
And I lived in Sullivan. And to travel to Sullivan was... Yeah, completely out of the way when Hawk was, you know, 20 minutes from my house. So it was convenient.
Right. So for you, it actually was a benefit.
It was.
Most people, see, that's what Dutchess did. Dutchess put it, said it right in the middle of their population center, you know, on the edge of Poughkeepsie, right in the Wappingers, whereas we are here. So in other words, what it should have been placed maybe in the northern end of the Sopus or something like that, then it would have been able to draw... In other words, but instead, people from Saugerties go up to Columbia County. If they live in Saugerties, many of them go to Columbia County. It's closer. And, of course, Highland, Dutchess is closer. And then Orange County is closer for those in, where's that end up?
Sullivan.
Yeah, the ones that live near the Sullivan border go to Orange County. So, I mean, it's a...
Were dormitories ever an issue in this discussion?
Well, they don't have them in the
They have them in Sullivan.
The one kicker is that, what is it, the Fashion Institute?
Yeah. Well, that's a choice of us. That's an offering that we just can't. Neat.
Which is crazy. I mean, if somebody goes to the Fashion Institute,
there's a reason.
It's a 4-year school too.
Yeah.
But yet they have to pay. You have to pay them at school residency, the amount of residency fees to the school account counties.
But are there other degree programs surrounding us that we just don't offer?
Yes, there's a number. That's probably the second most that's a degree offer.
Right.
So they constantly are looking at those degree offerings.
Yeah.
You know, so they do try to, like, for instance, some will come here for our nursing program because we have a good nursing program that other people know. So that's, we're drawing them on that. So, but at least we have an idea. In other words, instead of the speculation of what it was, we actually know why they're going to these places.
Is there one more, or was this
one? Oh, no, we yelled
that one off. Yeah, okay.
All right, any new business? All right, entertain a motion to adjourn.
Totally.
All those in favor, aye, and we are adjourned.